Welcome to Love Hate Automate, the podcast where digital dreams dress tomorrow's reality. I'm your host, Dale Parr, and with my weekly guests, we'll be diving into the vibrant world of digital fashion. Each episode, we stitch together innovation, creativity, and a splash of the unexpected. I'm extremely excited to welcome today's guest to the show. Isabella is a Gen Z entrepreneur. She is on the pulse of innovation, connected to the heartbeat of fashion at the world's largest startup campus in Paris, Station F. Welcome to the show, Isabella Maldonado.
Hello, Dale. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone, if you're listening to this. I am so excited to be here today. Well, Dale already gave an introduction I could never live up to, but thank you so much. Yes, I am the current product development innovation manager at a growing tech startup in Station F, while also being the new co-founder of an AI startup in Station F. So I spend my time at Station F, probably most of my days. There was a time I almost even slept there, but don't tell them, please.
The world of entrepreneurship, yeah?
The world of entrepreneurship. I think it's something so lovely, and I'm so excited that in both of the startups that I actually have these leadership roles, there is the sense of fashion coming in. The first one focuses on luxury resale and authentication, which, as we know, is a really big issue in the industry. Yeah. And the second one, which is mine, I cannot reveal much of it yet since we're a little bit in stealth mode, but I can tell you that it's all about making consumers' lives easier through fashion.
Okay.
And other, of course, other than that, I'm just an AI Web3 blockchain strategist. I love fashions. Here we go.
Incredible. So tell me, what's it like at Station F? Obviously, you know, being from Britain, I haven't had the chance to experience it, but obviously it's the world's largest startup campus. Paris is a hotbed of technology, you know, hotbed of fashion. The world's biggest fashion groups are there. It must be really exciting to work out of that space.
It's extremely exciting. Well, first of all, you should come visit whenever you want. We'll receive you with happy open arms. But there's always something new happening. I think that what I love most about it is I walk into Station F, the office, etc. There's always someone recording a new video or talking about their new startup or a new conference going on. The opportunities that you meet and the people that you get, like, it's amazing. We got the chance to actually be in conversation with Sam Altman just last year.
Wow.
And that for me is one of the major milestones I've ever experienced at Station F. But the overall daily life is, well, what you can experience. Maybe it's a more upscaled Parisian version of Silicon Valley, but everyone's in their computers, headphones on, coding or Canva for design or InDesign, Adobe. Yeah. And everyone's just having a conversation about the future. I think that that's what I love the most.
Yeah.
It's not about what happened today in the news or what Bloomberg's reporting or what happened yesterday. It's what are we going to do tomorrow? And
that's incredible. That's thinking of the future state of anything and everything, all sorts of sectors, all sorts of industries. And obviously, you're specifically interested in fashion. Maybe you can just tell us a bit about your history within fashion, your experience. Maybe give us an idea of how many fashion startups are located in Station F.
Yes. So the two main big groups at Station F are, of course, LVMH, because they're everywhere you turn in fashion and luxury now. They're there. And L'Oreal. So they really focus. The beauty tech industry is also growing tremendously. There's a lot of startups around that sentiment as well. But the majority of tech startups that you see in fashion, at least in Station F, are really centered around sustainability. And specifically, you know, to develop products that are sustainable, different furs, different leathers. So I would say that's the major sentiment among the crowd. And of course, tools for making creatives' lives easier. So for content creators or influencers, that type of B2B SaaS software. But we're missing more D2C tech startups. So just putting that out there.
And if anyone knows, so lots of material innovate. You're seeing lots of material innovation coming through.
100%. Actually, I had the pleasure of meeting a team just this past week who is building sustainable fur, so like faux fur, but in a completely new sustainable way. And they're actually under the LVMH Maison de Startups. Mm-hmm. And the way that they develop it, and they have collaborated already with Stella McCartney for some of the products, and even looking to integrate this into many more brands. It's so interesting to see how they're redefining what this concept of luxury is, because for Hermes, luxury will always be alligator leather. But we never know in the future when this type, for example, this type of fur that they're developing will become the new luxury. So it's always really interesting to see technology from different perspectives, because everyone always thinks about it like data or coding or AI or the actual blockchain metaverse of things. But technology is simply updating a process and making it better for everyone. And how tech is involved in things as just reshaping or what your clothes are made of. So.
Yeah. It's all part of it, right? It's all part of that digital transformation. It's the discovery of new products, new materials, new processes. Everything is up for grabs, basically, isn't it? You know, there's lots of outdated frameworks across the industry, and it feels like, you know, those big decision makers are ready to embrace new ideas, which is great. It's needed, right?
100%. I think it's, and with Gen Z coming into play more, now Gen Alpha growing even more on social media, I think the world is more than ready to see this new conversations come to light. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting.
Are there many data startups over there at the minute?
Yes. I think data has always been a really big concern for everyone. It's the new oil. Mm-hmm. I mean, that conversation has been around for a while. And now I think the conversation is shifting, though, from how can we extract and gather data to how can we interpret it? How can we organize it? How can we manage it? And the EU, for example, is coming very strong and heavily with, they have regulated Apple thousands of times in the past 2 months, more than any other government or I think in Apple's history, just because of how they handle users' data and where that data is going. So I think a lot more startups are starting to arise on that conversation. How can we make it secure? How can we now use it for a safe, sustainable reason more than just to generate more revenue?
Yeah, it's those data spaces, right, that the EU are trying to push forward, making sure that all industries understand the standardized model of handling and using data, and those data owners are actually able to monetize that data. So if it's not sensitive to their commercial operation, they're able to marketplace that, and then and which will enable, you know, other startups and researchers to discover even more incredible insights. So I think it's a really, really exciting space. But let's get into the body of the show. So first of all, the first category is always a positive one. So let's talk about love. What's kind of inspiring you at the moment?
So as we were mentioning with the EU regulations, I am so inspired and I'm really liking how this conversation is coming to light. And I don't know if it really, we really need just the EU to put out all these regulations for everyone to start talking about them. But the way, more than the way that it's going to make fashion more sustainable and just safer for everyone across the supply chains and brands, even consumers alike, what really excites me and the fact is that it's going to bring about so much innovation. We're going to have to think in ways we have never even thought about dressing or creating. And I've always been a person who has tried to look for the unusual way out. For me, whenever people could have told me like, oh, there's a wall, I would be like, which one? I can jump over it. I can create another one. I can break it. Like, there's so many possibilities I feel that we haven't exhausted yet, especially within the fashion industry, because we've been building it, right? Slowly, brick upon brick. Like Iman Ahmed, the editor in chief of the business of fashion, just mentioned in an interview he did a couple of months ago how 10 years ago we didn't call fashion an industry. Like, that's how small or niche down up to a certain extent it was. And now we're seeing fashion with tech, fashion with sustainability, fashion treated as its own economic market with all the conglomerates reporting their results and giving it as much attention as we give to Microsoft and Google. So it's really this idea of how, as consumers, are we going to change the way that we shop, the way that we give gifts. I mean, we usually give a clothing garment to someone, but now does it have a sort of special element attached to it through technology?
Mm-hmm.
And even how brands are going to restructure their collection offerings to the everyday market. So it really excites me.
Yeah, we are on the precipice. Well, that makes it sound negative. We're on the kind of the cusp of a really, really exciting time with it, technology integrated garments and fabric. The world is changing very, very quickly. And I think most people do want to make sustainable choices. And I think, you know, I agree that the EU textile policy has the power to bring that about because it's compliance. Brands have to conform. You know, there'll always be question marks about how they collect the data from their supply chains because they tend to look one tier or two tiers down, but they don't look three or four tiers down. So they maybe don't know where every single element comes from, every single embellishment, but they're going to have to try and find that. And they're going to have to store the data safely. And they're going to have to be honest about that data. I suppose only time will tell, you know, who the bad actors are, because there will be bad actors, because there always is. But I certainly think that people having a smartphone in their pocket, being able to tap an NFC to understand, you know, the water usage, the potential carcinogens, pollutants, travel, CO2, will all inform. It'd be interesting to see how shop floors and retail cope with that, because people may not have that impulsive purchase like they once did, you know, because everyone's going to be way more informed. So we might see that kind of that customer journey change.
I agree. You know,
it may be longer, maybe more costly from retargeting costs.
100%. Well, you come from merchandising and retail, so I know that you have this strong opinion and insights on how that's going to cost brands, and moreover, how expensive it's going to be and mm-hmm. how complicated, because as you mentioned, there's different tiers to everything that a garment has. So for example, the digital product passports, I think that if brands play it the right way, people will fall in love with the garments more than they have ever before. Mm-hmm. Because we, with fast fashion retailers like Zara and H&M, we have gotten into this loving the person that's wearing the item. So we see it on influencers on Instagram or TikTok, and we fall in love with how it looks on them and the story that they place behind it. And therefore, we go and buy it. But once someone else comes around with another piece, wearing it in this other new cool way, then we go again to the store and we buy it because we want to feel the same way. So we're losing this sort of DNA and codes and the storytelling behind what luxury and fashion is. Because I don't believe in, you know, with digital product passports, for example, of just immediately showing, blasting in front of a consumer's face, this is how much your garment consumed of, you know, oxygen or air or electricity or water. Because up to a certain point, not everyone will be triggered by that or will really be affected by it if it's not a main concern in your life, and might be kind of ignored, kind of out of sight, out of mind type of situation, because we don't see trash in the streets every day, as we've seen in data insights and reports. You really don't think about it. I think it's more of luxury and fashion are supposed to make you dream, and if you can use the data 100%. Like, why are we trying to make fashion normal or just an industry with insights and data and reports? No, at the end of the day, it started as art, as something that people escaped to or wore to feel better. So if we can leverage the insights from sustainability, so how much, you know, water is consuming electricity, but manage a way to tell a story around it to the consumer and explain why this garment is so special, then they can not only tap into a whole new pool of consumers they probably didn't have before mm-hmm. and really bring in all the sustainability loving consumers, especially Gen Z, but make those older generations, Gen X, for example, which is seeming very attractive to brands right now because of the economic recession. They're the ones that are usually the most well-equipped to handle it.
Resilient, yeah.
Resilient, exactly. Can appeal to them, and therefore also ignite their passion into sustainability, and what does that actually mean? So I think
there is two sides to the enabled garment, right? Because the purpose of DPP is for transparency around the provenance of the production of that garment. But like you suggested there, it's also a mechanism to deepen that brand engagement,
100%.
The storytelling, take people on a journey, you know, make them love the brand, love the product, make them want to share that information, that story with their own communities. So yeah, that kind of functional data has to be there, but yeah, if it's not good news, you don't really want to focus on it, right? So they'll probably kind of, there'll be a lot of, brands are great at storytelling, as you said. They'll leverage the technology to tell great stories.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they have recently, though, which it's interesting. So if anyone from any brands listening, you don't have to change yourself for technology. You're already amazing as you are. Find a way to just integrate that into your personality. And I think that's the point where brands are kind of hitting, like, missing the target. But I'm excited to see where they take it.
Well, talking of missing the target, the next section of the show is hate. So what is, should we say, what's frustrating you, in the industry at the moment? Like, what observations have you made, or what projects have you seen where you think they've kind of missed an opportunity to be a little bit more progressive with the application of technology or that deeper immersive experience? Maybe you could tell us what's bugging you at the moment.
100%. I feel like the brand that I'm about to mention has been on everyone's lips in the past month.
Uh-huh.
Gucci.
Okay.
So we know they have had a lot of issues surrounding the appointment of the new creative director, and some critics absolutely loving it, others not so much, and all the marketing around it, but really not landing on their feet with revenues and profits, but really falling behind.
Yeah, their results haven't been good yet. Down 18%, I believe.
Down, yes. And projected to be even down like 40 to 45%. So it's really terrible, especially after the spike that we have with Alessandro Michele. So for me, the brand, I am super excited to see everything that they're doing with technology, because they have been really pushing this idea of the metaverse. And within the storytelling, actually, they released the documentary for Apple Vision Pro about Sabato De Sarno's story and how he connected with Gucci. The problem for me that I feel, again, kind of comes into this, where does technology fit in with the brand, is while I love all the marketing that they're doing because I really think it's genius, I do think it's a little bit ahead of the time. And if you truly, this was published in a BOF article, so if someone wants to find it, I'm crediting them, but they interviewed Gucci store sales associates about, you know, the traffic that they were getting, what the consumer sentiment was. And they mentioned that actually when Sabato De Sarno's products arrived at store, they sold out pretty quickly. However, we still see revenues down. So that the problem after interviewing certain Gucci employees was around the production. And we hear about all these technologies, including AI and blockchain, supposed to revolutionize what the supply chain is, and even already testing it and starting out. So my question is, if that tech is out there, and your problem is clearly in production, why don't you just change the way that you allocate your budget to solving that issue? Because only 15 to 30% of Gucci's new collection is in store as of now. And that's what's causing revenues to really fall down, not how much awareness people have about De Sarno's collection. And then just 2 weeks ago, a new sneaker was released with artificial intelligence, like 3D printing, etc. It was called like cubic. However, people
the cubed,
from the back,
or the cube 3D,
cube 3D, and a lot of commentary from the fashion industry was, I don't understand how this is connected to Gucci. Where are the codes? Where's the DNA? Where's the storyline? Which is so precious. There was even a whole movie made about it. Like, that's how amazing it is. We have other brands who don't even have a movie made about it. So that was a sentiment from there. And then from tech, it was also understanding, well, how deep with tech did you actually get into this product? And the thing that I feel is bothering at the moment, I guess, if I can use that word, or hope that we can change soon, is that language, is that conversation about how and where tech is used. Because for the fashion industry, it's mostly thought about as a marketing tool, which AI has been amazing in generating it. And I feel we still have a long way to go. However, in the tech space also, it's, oh, how can we create digital garments, which don't really align with what the fashion industry is feeling. So we have two complete opposite topics or discussions going on, and they're trying to meet at the middle. So there's no middle right now. That's why there's really no consumer interest, because tech is not supposed to be the main selling point of your garment or of your product. Your brand is supposed to be. Tech is just supposed to enhance it. It's supposed to help either in distribution or in production or in marketing, but it should not be what you're selling to your consumer.
You know, I wrote a blog post, and I literally published an editorial this morning about that very topic. You know, strategic innovation is different to trend hopping to different technologies, because you think the world wants you to be there and wants you to see that. That's the ditch many brands have found themselves in the last few years, because they're trying to adopt crypto, then they're trying to adopt different types of crypto, and then they're going to publish data on a particular type of chain, and then they have to be in a certain virtual world. None of that really matters. It's about delivering an experience that your audience enjoy.
I agree.
And not the tech that's delivering it or enabling it. Yeah.
Yes, you summed it up incredibly well, because I think it has been a race. Well, fashion brands really felt left behind with the influencer trend and the whole content creation universe that started. So when the metaverse started arising, which was one of the first things, then came, of course, NFT, the NFT hyping, now we have AI. Brands rushed to it without taking the time to understand how it was going to really enhance them. And well, of course, they saw the result in ROIs not being what they expected. I'm not saying that strategy is not going to work. It is going to work at some point in the future, but it's really about understanding that your customer and what they want, because it's not about who's the smartest and who's the fastest and who's the most innovative. No, innovation is all about delivering something that your customer wants in a completely new way. So
it doesn't even have to be what the customer wants. And I think that's a lesson for a lot of brands, is that they need to think about innovation from like a holistic people perspective. Mm-hmm. And those people are their staff and their partners, as well as their customers. And technology adoption, if it can improve your market alignment, or if it can drive operational excellence, if it can help you develop better, more suitable products on time, if it yields a financial opportunity, if it contributes to, you know, ethical and sustainable practices, but also enhancing the customer experience, these are all really powerful reasons to consider innovation. But it takes time to consider how to prioritize those.
100%. And that's where it is complicated at the end of the day, because fashion, I think, besides the stock market, is probably the only industry that moves that quick. Mm-hmm. There's always something new happening. You're always planning for 2-3 years ahead without even knowing. And of course, trying to cater to the consumer, it's completely difficult. Now brands are trying to cater to Alpha more than Gen Z, and they're 10 years behind. So it is something that takes time, that takes a lot of strategy. And I think that's where innovation comes in, as you most smoothly put it, that it's all about thinking in a new way. So more than what can we develop with it, or what's the new cool tech product that we can place out, it's how can we think in a new way to make sure that our brand is at the forefront, that we're still serving our employees and maintaining our shareholders happy, as well as keeping customers interested. It's all about, it's honestly going to be a decade of out-of-the-box thinking. And I'm so excited for that. But at the same time, there needs to be a coherent language mm-hmm. between the tech industry and the fashion industry. We never thought we would be colliding.
Yeah.
And the day finally arrived. So there has to be a place where we can finally sit down and meet or a common sentiment and understand what the benefits of kind of uniting these two industries is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's a coming together, and I think there's insecurities that need to be overcome, and they need to understand the commercial relationships between the pair of industries. But that's happening. You know, that is happening. There's a willingness for that to happen. Yeah. But yeah, a clean, coherent dialogue, an honest dialogue is obviously really valuable for any kind of collaboration. No, that's really well put. And I think innovation doesn't have to be tech, of course. It can be just a thought process, a mindset. You know? Exactly. Yeah. So with that, let's go on to the final topic, which is automate. Now, what dreams do you have? What tools have you imagined? What solutions could you love to bring to the world tomorrow if you had the opportunity? What's your automate?
Ooh, so I like this question so much. Thank you for asking it, first off. It really puts my brain to work. I feel like, honestly, there's so many cool things happening around that it's so even hard to think about a new one, but it's a dream that probably every girl has had, and boy too, so I completely everyone probably, but from the movie Clueless, the 90s movie, where she has mm-hmm. a digital closet, so she wakes up yeah. in this perfect bedroom and she just swipes on her screen and automatically she is dressed in the most cool perfect outfit resonating with herself, her environment, the day, the weather. And so a lot of apps and a lot of companies have tried to recreate this. Yeah. I myself used so many whenever I go on business trips or vacations or even for fashion weeks, whenever you have to plan outfits in advance. However, it's on my phone, so it's a small device. And it's you have to take pictures. It's completely, they're not quite there yet. For me, the automate would genuinely be having a mirror that could just genuinely read my wardrobe and mm-hmm. tell me the weather, be linked with like my Google calendar and tell me, okay, I know that you have these events today and I know this is what's on your wardrobe. This is the weather and you live in this city. This is what you can wear today. And it would save me at least 2 hours of my day. For me as an entrepreneur, time is the most valuable asset anyone can have, just in general. But for me, at least, with the team meetings and with commuting and just everything else that goes on in business and startup life, I would love to reduce my getting ready time. And I think that comes for everyone. So if I could have an automate, it would be that. If anyone's willing to build a cool AR mirror for me, I am the perfect first beta user. Contact me. So please, I'll be happy to help you and test it out.
No, that's incredible. I think it gives a purpose. Just to add to your thought, I think if there's NFC enabled garments and, you know, it logs how often things are worn and washed, if it's able to help you kind of, you know, rotate and get value and extra wears out of certain things that maybe you've overlooked over time, all of that information is really, 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 really valuable for helping us all live a really sustainable life. We look good and we're being sustainable in how we consume our fashion. So I think that's a fantastic one, mate.
Thank you.
Well, Isabella, that does bring us to the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for your time. It's been a great conversation. How can our audience stay in touch with what you're up to?
Of course. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope to be back for another episode very soon because I feel we have so much to talk about. They can find me mostly on LinkedIn. So it's at Isabella Maldonado, very straightforward. Send me a DM, comment, follow. I will respond to anyone. I love meeting new people. If you have new ideas, want to talk about something in the podcast mm-hmm. or just insights, I'm always there. And then you can also find my personal like business email address, but I think you can find me there and just you'll be updated with the life of a Gen Z entrepreneur, fashion and tech in Paris, which is always really exciting.
Sounds great. No, seriously, it sounds incredible. I'll make sure we'll get all that information in the show notes so people can start connecting with you,
Perfect.
following your activities in Paris. It sounds super exciting, and you might even find me getting a Eurostar over to visit because I'd love to meet you in person and visit Station F.
Yes, and come in June, it's summer, it's Station F, everyone's happy and working, and there's also Menswear Paris Fashion Week, so you know the
Perfect.
crossovers are always super interesting.
End of June. Yeah, so ideal that. So just to wrap, whether you're a creator, a builder, or a player in the digital space, have fun and enjoy being at the frontier of technologies that are definitely changing the future. We'll see you next time on Love, Hate, Automate.